Okay, guys, the Weekside Podcast is back. It's Thursday, March 12th, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So everything is kind of crazy fluid right now. Some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about is obviously going to undergo some major changes as we move forward with coronavirus updates. And, you know, I know that this is something that is dominating probably every aspect of your life. And so you're sitting there saying, can't we just talk about football? But the problem is coronavirus has a lot of lasting impacts on how we're going to look at free agency. Is anything going to be pushed back? I'll bring in Jenny now. You know, we were part of a staff-wide effort to kind of pull together some information this morning, and it looks like, at the very least, scouting is the first thing that we've seen that's going to be changed dramatically, the act of actually looking at all these players during the pre-draft process.
Yeah, because the NFL calendar is such that they don't necessarily have to make big decisions on any big events immediately. I mean, the draft is coming up in April, but there aren't games that are being played tonight, tomorrow night. So we're seeing the first impact through the teams who have scouts out on the road, and several teams have pulled scouts from the road. We know of, at this point, Washington, I believe, Tampa Bay. Other teams have been sort of restricting scouts' travel or recommending that they stay in the area or, you know, do local trips and limit flying. But now, as word of the impact of the virus in the U.S. continues to spread, I think a lot of schools will be canceling pro days. And so basically everything's in flux, but the biggest thing going on right now is going to be scouting and free agency. So those are the things that we'll see an impact on. And it's sort of a different implications for that than if games were being played right now.
What's interesting to me is, you know, I talked to one coach this morning who was like, you know, I think this is the right thing to do. I mean, you know, I think in this atmosphere, in this environment, everybody gets so charged up about everything because it can never just be about the moment or what's actually happening. But, you know, the coach said to me, like, you know, I have all the tape on my iPad that I can pull up and I can watch, and I have a cell phone. And if I need to know anything about the person's character, I have every sort of ability to reach out to friends, family, you know, anyone that knows this person, other coaches, and get that information. And, you know, yes, I mean, does in-person interviewing help? I'm sure it's all part of the process. I mean, I remember you did a great story at the Combine about being in these rooms and maybe what people can get out of it or you know, what can be ascertained from this. But at the same time, like, I think we have all the technology, right? So why are we even fighting it? Because scouting was sort of an archaic process a little bit to begin with.
Yeah, it seems like the NFL is always kind of slow to move on these things and slow to change the calendar. But to your point, you know, it's very feasible to do so. We've already had All-Star Games, already had the Combine, where there are medical checks there. Now, of course, there's the medical recheck, and then teams could bring in players on top 30 visits, and if someone didn't go to the Combine, do a medical exam on them there. So there are some small things that may be affected, but the reality is none of this is important. It can all be adjusted or moved back or any of those. I think that right now teams have been making measures for themselves, and what really needs to happen, I think, is the league should make recommendations league-wide for how this should be handled. And I think one of them should be the pushing back the start of the league year. You know, there are reports Thursday morning that the NFL has not decided to move it back. But I have heard that from a high-ranking team source who thought those discussions were still ongoing and that was still a possibility on the table. And I think it does make sense because right now I think we see people that there are more pressing needs to handle than figuring out how you're going to proceed with free agency during a time of when experts are recommending social distancing and, you know, limiting non-essential travel and trying to slow the spread of the virus, which is already in the United States. And of course, I'm not a medical expert, not to speak to that, but it seems like there are challenges and perhaps unnecessary risks that would be taken if you did open free agency next week. And the year of the lockout, free agency began in late July or early August. So we've seen adjustments to the calendar before. And they were discussing, you know, potentially pushing back the league year in regards to the CBA negotiations. So it's certainly not something that's unheard of. It does seem a little bit crazy to think that they would not push the start of the league year back. But again, it's 2 p.m. on Thursday, Connor. And as we've seen, the news is changing. So by the time this podcast comes out, maybe the league year will have been pushed back.
It's like you said, I mean, it's not unprecedented. You know, the lockout sort of gave a blueprint to that. What interests me is, you know, what different things and what coaches truly do have contingency plans in place. I think so many people are creatures of habit, but you know, as one person brought up to me who was coaching in the NFL during the lockout in 2011, it was, you know, it seemed like it was divided in half, where there were teams that were kind of not paralyzed by this, but really sort of unable to find a way to get certain things done despite all the chaos and all the things happening. And there were other teams that just sort of got out a mile ahead on this just by, I don't know, staying organized, you know, making sure that, you know, if everybody's working from home, they can just, you know, they have tasks that they can get done safely and on time and stuff. And I don't know, I think it's going to be a huge administrative challenge too, beyond whatever the league recommends. I mean, you know, it's still up to these 32 clubs to figure out, you know, how they're going to do some of the essential things that they have to do during the off season.
Yeah, and I think that's where guidelines from the league would help the clubs, because I think, of course, there's still this competitive impact that teams are no doubt considering, because we know how the NFL works. And so if the league had certain restrictions that everybody had to abide by, I think you would find teams who might be hesitant to adopt some of these measures say, okay, well, now we have no choice. We have to go forward with it. I also think there's a difference in different parts of the country. You know, we're here in New York, New Jersey area, and I think there's more of a urgency, I think, here than I see in other places. You know, talking to people in different parts of the country, where you get in your car and you go to an office building and you feel like you might not be in contact with that many people. So I do think there is a geographical difference across the country based on where there have been outbreaks and how acute it seems in your community. That's where I think also that guidelines from the NFL could help as well.
As we're taping this, we probably hit record about 20 minutes after a string of cancellations of the Big Ten tournament, the ACC tournament. I think the Big Ten, the players were out warming up. That everyone actually made it to Indianapolis, and then they just 20 minutes before tip off yanked everybody off the floor and decided to cancel everything. I just don't understand, you know, not taking every precaution at this point, right? I mean, and I don't know how that filters to the NFL, because like you said, everything is a little bit delayed, and I guess free agency, I don't know, the last high profile visit that I remember was maybe Dont'a Hightower or Brock Osweiler. I don't know if visits are as in vogue as they were in the past, and maybe you could still do it without it, but it just seems silly to me not to follow any of the, you know, any of the normal precautions here until everyone knows how to combat this thing.
Yeah, I think with the free agent visits, you're right, it has become less emphasis on that in the last few years, because the tampering window opens 2 days before and you can't take a visit until free agency officially opens. And so we've seen that a lot of the real deals get struck. Well, they probably got struck before the tampering window opens, but at the very least, you can't start taking visits until the league year actually opens, at which point most of the deals are already done. But, you know, if there's guys with medical concerns or taking physicals, or if there were people that did want to take some kind of a free agent tour, like Tom Brady, basically that is, I think there could be some implications for that. But I agree. I think if we're seeing major cancellations of conference tournaments, it just seems silly to think that you wouldn't try to move back free agency or reassess when you should begin that. And I think one thing that we've seen with the NFL over the years is that they're very rarely proactive. And so I do understand, on one hand, trying to make sure you can make an informed decision, and perhaps you don't have to make a decision on these things right now. You can continue waiting as you gather information. But it does seem like the NFL is more likely to push things back or, you know, make changes to the calendar once they see that other sports leagues are making significant changes, such as suspending the season.
It is like, and maybe this is a misrepresentation. I've always kind of thought that you really have an even-handed take on this typically, but they always do seem to be like a which direction is the wind blowing kind of league. You know, they're more of a cruise liner than a speedboat, right? So it takes them a while to turn around if they need to change course. And maybe it's because they're the biggest sport in America and they think about things differently, or they just don't want to be that first league with their foot out front on everything. But it does seem like it's always like, okay, here's the three major sports, other major sports that we've heard from. Now, what's going on with the NFL?
Yeah, and other things on the calendar upcoming. We have the start of off-season programs in April, starting with the coaches or the teams that have new coaches. Of course, there's the draft, and you know what will they do with all the plans for everyone to descend in Vegas? That's about 6 weeks away. So there's a lot of checkpoints coming up. And of course, I guess 10 days from now, or maybe 9 days, is the league meeting in Florida, where you have a lot of owners, a lot of older owners. We've seen that the recommendations are people over 65 should try to stay inside. So I think that is also another thing that they'll have to consider in the coming days.
Yeah, owners and coaches and family members. And it really is like, you know, we've seen states everywhere kind of try to limit gatherings to 250 people or less, but that's a much bigger kind of shindig than 250 people. That's, you know, that's really sort of the NFL's, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, off-season. What's a good word for like a fun staff meet and greet?
Yeah. Offsite or something like that.
Our yeah, like an offsite. Yeah.
But yeah, as we've been recording, the Eagles closed their facilities, practice facility, and stadiums. Looks like the Dolphins are pulling their scouts off the road as well. I believe the Vikings also did that a little bit earlier. So yeah, we're just kind of seeing ripple effects around the league right now, Connor, and it's difficult to exactly be able to say where things will land when the podcast comes out on Friday morning. But what steps have you taken, Connor?
I don't know. I mean, we were a little late to the whole shopping thing. So I think we're kind of stuck with whatever's in the house, you know, in terms of like, you know, the Purell is all gone, the soap is all gone, you know, all those things are just like ravaged in my neighborhood. I don't know, are you having like ravaging going on right now?
Yeah, I actually had bought hand sanitizer about a month ago, not related to the corona. I just was like, wow, I'm low, and I went to the drugstore and there was a 2-pack on sale, so I bought that. And I mean, turned out to be a clutch buy. And I, you know, I stocked up on things. I always kind of have a lot of canned goods around because my pantry and fridge are generally sort of aspirational, things that I would like to do if I actually cooked. And then I ultimately end up just ordering in. So I do end up having a lot of stockpiles of food in the freezer and the pantry, which is a good thing. Toilet paper really went out quickly in my local stores. And I was in the elevator earlier this morning and I heard a woman saying that she stockpiled weeks ago because she understands math and she could see the curve and where it was going. And I was like, wow, well, that was like it was a little bit of a humble brag about hoarding, Connor. So that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think especially like, you know, I live in New York, right? I'm like surrounded by people constantly. I go to pick up my mail and I encounter six people in the elevators. You try to go anywhere farther than a mile or two, you hop on a subway with subway poles. And so it's just hard to know exactly what to do and what I should be doing to not be a vector of disease, which is probably the biggest concern for people in our age bracket, since they say the risk is lower if you're a younger, relatively healthy person who's not immune compromised. But then there are people who are immune compromised. There are older people. So it's, you know, it's difficult to know what to do or not do. And it feels like the concern is hitting different parts of the country at different times. And but I think, you know, when the NBA season was suspended, I think that did seem to be when there were waves and everyone was like, okay, wow, like we're seeing, like, you know, we're seeing steps that we probably wouldn't have envisioned a week ago.
It's interesting because, and someone brought this up earlier, that, you know, everything happened with the Utah Jazz very quickly, and they were kind of ground zero for the coronavirus in the NBA, and how one player tested positive, and then all of a sudden everybody on the team got tested, and everybody, you know, kind of got in and out and confirmed, and it's like, wow. I mean, you know, I wonder if in the future, especially these next couple weeks, I mean, we're talking about people who have access to testing and people who don't have access to testing. It's interesting that, you know, an NBA team can get tested very quickly, but maybe people who are not symptomatic, just normal people, but are afraid that they might have the coronavirus, can't get tested now. And it's like, you know, where is this going to go at some point? And, you know, are we ever going to kind of put everybody on the same footing? Because it really doesn't matter. I mean, if you're famous and well, or, you know, an athlete and you're well, but the rest of us are not, you know, it's like, it really doesn't matter if you know, if you have the peace of mind that you're safe and healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. So last week, last Friday, I reached out to Joe Bomarito, who is a former Jet scout who has coached American football internationally. And I knew him from when I covered the Jets a little bit, but a few years ago we did football in Europe series, and I had gone to Milan where he was a coach at the time. And now he had, in early January, or excuse me, late January, he and his wife had gone to Padua, I think I'm saying that correctly, sorry. Got stuck in my mouth a little bit. And he was going to coach a football team there, so they did the usual routine, you know, settle into their apartment, they begin practices, and then the coronavirus starts to spread. So then, unsure what to do, they continued practicing. Then, you know, the league initially said they would play games and with no spectators, and then they moved to, okay, we're going to suspend the season for 2 weeks, but, you know, you're allowed to still practice. And so they had these rules where in the locker room you had to maintain a meter's distance, but outside it was okay. So they were doing drills as usual, but when he huddled the team at the end of practice, he had everyone standing farther apart. So we write the story and it posts, and I don't know, within 24 hours they'd already changed the rules, and now no activities till April 3rd was the next update, and now things have progressed even farther in Italy. So that was a pretty good window into how quickly things can escalate and how quickly the situation can change. And for him and his wife, you know, they're staying there, they're staying put in Italy, waiting to see how things go, waiting to see, you know, when at this point he looks like they might not resume the football season. And obviously in Italy, American football is not what it is in the United States. It's not a major revenue driver. It's something that people do for passion outside of their normal jobs. But he had gone there to coach. That was his whole purpose of being in Italy. And now they're not sure, how long will we stay there? When would it be safe to travel home? When will we know for sure that there will or won't be a season this year? So a lot of interesting factors to consider. And, you know, a lot of uncertainty when you go abroad for a job and you're not sure if you'll be able to complete that job.
What's interesting to me is I don't know if people, you know, and it's really hard because, you know, I think the one gift that I'm going to try to give myself is to stay off the internet for extended periods of time, because it seems like the block and tackle things that we need to know, you know, about washing our hands and, you know, kind of isolating ourselves a little bit, and, you know, to kind of taking care of ourselves, stuff that we know, and everything else is just sort of you know, feeding into if you're someone like me and you're like, oh no, oh no, oh no, and you just like to keep refreshing Twitter. But one of the things that at least I've found interesting is that, you know, this is not going away, right? I mean, this is, if you see some of the people who are experts on, you know, infectious disease that kind of talk about this kind of stuff for a living, who are professors and stuff like that. I mean, we're looking at like, you know, May, as a potential sort of point where this is going to wear down. And so, I don't know, I think it's just interesting that if you're the NFL or if you're anybody, I mean, those are the people that I'd be talking to right now, because you don't just have to worry about right now. You have to worry about the other end of this tail, because it just doesn't seem like it's something that, like, all of a sudden we're going to wake up 3 weeks before the draft and be like, okay, everything's fine, we can go back to normal.
Right. And exactly. And yeah, the draft seems somewhat far away now. So you can think, okay, well, maybe let's wait a little bit. But the way that things have changed in the last 48 hours, you know, it's reasonable to expect that events well into April could be affected at this point. And so I think it's kind of, we were in that waiting period where we weren't sure what was going to happen. And I think this week is, things really, really changed. I had two work trips I was scheduled to go on next week. One was a conference in Detroit, or excuse me, this week. And I was supposed to go to the Olympic Media Summit on Sunday in LA. And both of those were canceled on Monday. So that was when I think people were starting to say, okay, super non-essential gatherings, which a media summit would be fantastic, obviously, but not essential, like not a money maker directly, right? That was canceled. And then the conference that Grant Wall and I were supposed to participate in was, you know, the company that was hosting it had limited travel for their employees. So I think that was kind of when the restrictions started to come in. And now it's, yeah, it's, you kind of wonder, you know, seeing all the teams pull the scouts off the road, you know, should we be traveling for our jobs, right? And that's where it comes back to kind of everyone's left to sort of make a decision for themselves. And we're trying to listen to all the information from experts that we can, but it's sometimes hard to sort through all of that.
I'm fascinated by, you know, I look at all these writers at newspapers now who are covering NBA teams, Major League Baseball teams, hockey teams, and, you know, it's a nomadic lifestyle as it is. You're worn down. I mean, you know, we've done football on the road, and just to have this added pressure to be there every day, to, you know, chronicle the season, to, you know, see how all the players are doing. I mean, it's really incredible to hear everyone's stories. And, you know, the fact that, you know, I give a lot of credit to the people who are doing it right now, who are, you know, just sort of like, whatever, this is what we're supposed to do. And they're on the road. You know, I have not been anywhere since the coronavirus outbreak happened. So I don't know. I think, like you said, it's an individual choice, but it's pretty incredible to kind of hear everyone's stories, like the people who have to be on the road and the people who just don't have a choice right now.
And I think you see the value of when a company tells you not to travel, right? I think some of the scouts were wrestling with over the last couple of days, teams said, well, it's up to you. You know, you can fly or not, or you make the choice. And if you're an employee, you don't want to be the one that's not fulfilling your duties because, you know, someone else might be. And so I think that's where it helps when a boss tells an employee, hey, don't travel. This is our policy. Like, you're not permitted to. And that would be the choice you wanted to make anyway, or you think is the safest choice. And maybe it's too cautious, but ultimately, if it helps limit the spread, then it's made in the interest of public health. And so I do think it is hard when you're an employee to make a work-based decision to skip something when your employer leaves it up to you.
Yeah. So my big challenge for the next few days is going to be, you know, food that is rich in both vitamins and minerals, fresh, but probably also available at the grocery store, like after 5 o'clock today. What do you think my options are going to be? What would you go with? I'm thinking like big dishes, you know, so that it can serve over a period of time. But
okay, so you're going to do a lot of cooking is what you're saying.
I think so. I mean, I don't know, right? Is that the right thing to do? Made a lasagna last night, so I think that should last us for a little while.
That seems pretty good. You can make like a stew with like a lot of vegetables and maybe some chicken broth. I don't really know, Connor. I'm thinking that my reserves are like these cans of vegetables and such. So I'll probably just like make some mishmash of like chickpeas and tomatoes and eat that.
That's like fairly on brand for you anyway, though.
Yeah,
like it's not far from the...
generally my eating habits, yeah. Also, recently Whole Foods had a sale on bars. You know, I'm a big bar person. So I eat these Clif Kids bars.
Oh, I like those.
They were significantly discounted. Like, I think 35% plus the Amazon Prime. So I bought like 20 boxes because like it saved a lot of money. So, you know, I did stock up on that as well. So
I'm like... I'm not looking forward to going to the store later. I just, you know, the hoarding is crazy. Like,
yeah.
If you realize like how often you really go through like one container of hand soap, you don't need 35, you know, just get 5 and let the next person get 5, you know?
It's absolutely true. Connor, since we've been talking, I see another headline that the CFL has canceled its combine and most other off-season business. Pro Football Talk rates. So,
and Duke just pulled itself out of the NCAA tournament.
Oh, wow. Okay. So soon we'll get to the point where the NFL feels comfortable making a decision to move back the league here, basically, is what it is. I mean, I do think it's disappointing sometimes, Connor, that the NFL is not out in front of things, that they're waiting for the CFL to make decisions or the NCAA or other entities. You know, as you mentioned, they have such influence, and perhaps maybe they want to act more cautiously because of that. But whether it's, you know, social issues or issue of public health, it can be frustrating to see their reluctance to act, and the fact that they just seem so influenced by what's publicly acceptable. It's two different things, right? It's one thing to say, hey, we want to wait till we have all the information and make an informed decision. But with the NFL, we've seen too many times that it's the opposite, that it's not about getting the information or feeling like they're in a position to act smartly. It's more about what are the tides of public opinion saying.
I do hope that as people who chronicle history, you know, and that people will remember and realize, you know, especially like these last, you know, 5 years or so, there have really been some periods of glaring inaction and also, but inspiring action, right? And so I hope that on both sides, it does get remembered properly, you know, and adequately, and, you know, as we get further and further, as we get older and get further and further away from these moments. But it's like, you know, I just think that the NFL, if it remains what it is going to be disappointed with itself, I think, over the last 4 or 5 years. And the fact that, like, what could we have done in a lot of these situations to maybe be the pace setter, to, you know, help take society with us, because sometimes it's just not possible and with other entities that don't have our entertainment value and don't have the attention on it that we do. And so I don't know. I just hope that it's going to be remembered in the right way, and that, you know, people who kind of don't take the lead on stuff don't get to claim the credit that they did, you know, 5 or 6 years down the road.
Yeah, and maybe it is a big burden for a sports league to have. And the counter argument is, well, why would a sports league be a trendsetter in issues of public health or in issues of social justice? But the reality is, like, they have this influence and they're willing to wield it in other ways. So if you have the information and you can act informed, and the issue is simply that you're not sure how the public will respond to what is the right thing to do, then I think that's where the issue comes in. And I think that's been a problem with the leadership and the direction of the league.
Yeah. Any good, you know, we're obviously, you know, we have a story up right now that's constantly updating with all of our reporting that you can check out at si.com, and we'll be working throughout the week and the weekend and, you know, kind of bringing you all the updates. But do you have any good sort of, you know, if you have to stay in, any sort of good staying in plans, a book that you're looking forward to or a show that you're going to watch?
I wanted to watch the Hillary documentary on Hulu, and I have a stack of books on my table, Catch and Kill, a few others that I wanted to read.
Nice.
I was settling in to watch the U.S. women's soccer game on Wednesday night, and only made it to halftime because then it was time for the presidential address, and then the news of the NBA season being suspended hit, but was really, really... on any other day, Connor, that was the moment of the women's soccer team coming out with their jerseys flipped inside out.
Very cool.
Covering up the U.S. soccer shield after their sexist arguments in court. On any other night, like I thought that would have been the sports story of the night. But of course, obviously, there's a pandemic going on and there's other matters to talk about. But that was a really powerful moment and really speaks to, you know, we've been talking a lot the last few weeks about the CBA vote and the union, and I think there's smart opinions on both sides of the CBA vote, but the one thing that the NFL players have not done is unify, and I think that the women's soccer team is a great example of that. They were all out there together, all out there with their shirts flipped, and yes, I know it's one entity, it's one team, it's smaller than 2,000 players around the league, but they always have each other's backs, and they're, whether or not people have different opinions across the spectrum, and they do, you know, they're always, they wield the power that they have together. And I think that it stands a little bit in contrast to some of the picking back and forth that we've seen that really undermines the players' union's own leveraging position.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's a great point. And for anybody who hasn't read Jenny's fantastic story on Megan Rapinoe in the Sports Person of the Year issue in December, and you find yourself at home for an extended period of time, I think that would be a phenomenal thing to do with yourself if that's something that you're interested in.
How about you, Connor? Anything that you're going to watch or read?
I just started a book on the Johnstown flood by David McCullough. So that should be, you know, interesting. I've been having a hard time sleeping, and so they said to read something sort of calming and a little bit dry before bed, and to try to do that. And at least so far, it's been good because it's just very vivid descriptions of life before like deforestation. You know, just sort of rich tree-lined cities and creeks and streams, and so that's good. I like reading about creeks and streams, you know.
That's interesting, Connor. That sounds like a good pick.
Yeah, so, you know, why not? But I would encourage everybody out there who is listening, you know, we will get back to football when we know what's going on, and you know, we'll obviously any si.com will update anything that we know about the NFL as it's related to the coronavirus, but just you know, stay safe, everybody, you know, and do what you can to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best possible situation, yourself and your family, you know. Don't do anything crazy.
Yeah, hopefully we provided you a slight slice of distraction as everyone navigates through that, and we will see you next week. The MMQB Weekside Podcast is me, Jenny Vrentis, and Connor Orr. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Ben Eagle is director of editorial projects and product. Mark Moravik is emeritus executive director of the MMQB. Keep up with our entire lineup of podcasts 5 days a week by subscribing to the MMQB NFL Podcasts for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, please do us a favor and leave a rating and review. It really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.